Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bry or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
So you've tuned into the Essen Fressen show, and thank you for joining us. Lauren and I didn't realize, and we bumped into each other last week in the bush. And it was quite interesting, as we were joining our family from overseas at a game lodge in, what's it called, the area?
Belgevonden
Reserve. And I'd never heard of it before. And we had to meet at a spot. It was very interesting. You have to meet at this huge parking lot with all security everywhere. Leave your cars there for your five-day little sojourn. And you were picked up by your lodge in a Land Cruiser, because you can't go on 75% of the roads, as they are impossible, especially because of all the rainfall that we've had. So there we are in the parking lot waiting on top for our topless Range Rover to sweep us away to an off-the-grid bushveld experience, when suddenly I see a 4x4 arriving at the motor drop-off point, looking like an overloaded taxi at Christmas, with the roof rack groaning under the weight of exploding cooler boxes, and Leon and Lauren's heads hanging out of the window. And we were so well prepared for 5 days. They were so well prepared for 5 days of the bush, and we weren't prepared that much, as we ran out of milk. Why did I call your husband Leon?
Leon, Errol.
It's Errol.
It's Errol, but it's okay.
You know why? Because of his cousin.
No, his brother was Leon.
And his brother, that's right.
His brother was Leon.
Okay.
But my point is, Char, the more prepared you are, the better off you're actually going to be. I think that it has to be like an absolute precise maneuver moving to the bush. But what I found is it's worth the extra time to sit and make your lists and plan everything very thoroughly, because then you can completely relax and enjoy every moment of it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And such a stupid thing that I did. I mean, I don't know why I didn't think of Adrian Bugatti. I mean, she is the queen of the bush. I mean, she does all the catering and whatever. And I just didn't think of phoning her. I think it was such a rush thing. The family all of a sudden decided at the last minute that we're going to come in and let's go to the game reserve. And okay, so what must I bring? Well, just bring kosher meat, Shah, and we're going
to
bra.
Yes, but I don't even think, Shah, you always have to take meat. You know, I was sitting and thinking about it, and in the end, I took some beautiful salmon. I've been watching Jamie Oliver, and he cooks a lot on his barbecue, on his braai.
Yes.
And I watched, he did the most magnificent salmon on his braai. And that's quite easy to take with, and especially if you take it and you're there for a few days, you use it within the first few days, you know, of being there. And it's gorgeous, rather than meat all the time. What do you think?
Absolutely, I agree with you. And in fact, a few years ago, we were in the bush with the original owners of Moishe's, Mark Feinblum.
Yes.
And I said, they were in one rendezvous, we were in another, and I said, come and have some, what is it, macaroni cheese. I said, come and have some macaroni. He said, macaroni cheese? I've never heard of macaroni cheese in the bush. That's, I mean, brying. What? Meantime, it was all cleaned up. So I did the same thing this time.
Yes, you pre-make it, freeze it, and off you go.
And guess what? Everybody, and I made some tuna blintzes.
Oh, yum.
And I made a lovely potato salad, and I made a cabbage salad. And I think everybody enjoyed that. And thank God I made that, because it's such a pain to start making salads while you're there. So we made a lot of pickles, and I made a salad that went down so well, and I've never made it before. And it was just, do you know the pickled vegetables? It's like, it's made by Miami Foods. And
yes,
it's pickled peppers, onion, cucumber, and it's all chopped up finely. So I drained that, and I added a packet of frozen mealies to it, a little bit of mayonnaise.
It sounds... It was very innovative.
Everybody Loved it. I don't, it was so simple. I don't know what it was. Anyway,
everybody loves these old-fashioned recipes. You know, I was thinking that because we were chatting about retro and you said to me, I'm still stuck in the 80s. Yeah. But actually, I really am, you know. And I think when you pull out your mock crayfish and your chicken a la Kings, people really do enjoy them still.
They still enjoy that old sort of, it's comfort food. It reminds you of the old days.
Absolutely.
Like with Pesach, I did the Jewish laugh thing and I did a mock crayfish.
Yes.
And my brother actually sat down at this Pesach table and he said, where's the mock crayfish? You put it in the magazine, but why aren't you serving it?
So how do you do your mock crayfish? Because I actually brought mine and then we can compare notes.
Oh, did you? Okay,
yes,
so
yes.
My mock crayfish, something my mother always taught me, because somehow hake just like shrivels up and goes to nothing.
Yes.
And my family won't eat king clip. So what we did was we put a little bit of water into a pot, and then I put the hake pieces into a colander. So I steam it.
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't break up as much as if you're boiling it. And I steam it. And then to that, I add a little bit of, I make my pink sauce with my tomato sauce and mayonnaise. I add a little bit of grated
onion.
Little bit of grated onion, a little bit of grated pickled cucumber, a couple of drops of Tabasco sauce. But I use a nice, rich, creamy mayonnaise.
It's all in the mayonnaise, I think.
It's in the mayonnaise.
Definitely in the mayonnaise.
And salt and pepper, of course. But I do steam my fish with two bay leaves.
Yes.
It just gives that nice
taste. It
gives
that. I also do with bay leaves and some peppercorns. I also put an onion in.
Uh-huh.
And then I leave it in the fridge and it gets a little bit firmer.
Yes.
And then I flake it into the sauce.
Yeah.
And it gets gobbled. You know those old-fashioned, what were they called? Avocado Ritz.
Yes.
Yes, and you bring this out on a plate, all beautifully garnished.
Do it on a beautiful platter.
And it gets gobbled, literally. People remember it all.
And that you can also do in the bush as well.
Completely, you can.
Nice crackers. But I think the secret is I put half the sauce into the bowl, and then the fish, and the rest of the sauce
That's
on
clever.
Top.
So it's actually getting
so
it.
So you're really absorbing all that flavour. So back to the bush before we go on to our nice fancy dinner parties and meals. What did you bri quite a bit?
We bri'd quite a bit, but also I brought with a beautiful spaghetti bolognese sauce, which was,
okay. And
it's so easy, literally. Again, on the bri, I boiled my water,
yes.
Drained the water out onto the soil, right. Tossed it with my ready-made spaghetti bolognese sauce.
Yeah.
And it was beyond delicious.
There you go. And you know, it's like Baomir on Thursday night, we're going to be doing a lot of brying.
Yes.
I don't know if
there are a lot of events going on this year.
There are a lot of events.
It's become such a thing like Baomir, I think, compared.
Yes.
When we were growing up, it was, okay, so it was like Baomir.
Yeah,
you know, there was
exactly.
No big spiel about it. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing I do now, which I've learned when going to the bush, is I've stopped bringing disposables. You know, you can get all these, because you can get like mugs and plates and knives, and they're super cheap.
Yes.
I find that if I take one with for every person, a meat and a milk bowl, and then I take one of those little Addis plastic bowls,
yes,
and I just wash it, and I find it so much cheaper and more effective than taking a whole lot of disposables.
And challah in the bush.
I made challah in the bush. So I didn't really make that. I cheated the challah. So what I did is I went to one of the kosher bakeries, and she gave me some challah dough in a plastic bag, took it with, put it into the freezer. On Friday morning, I took it out of the freezer, let it come to room temperature. We plaited it and baked it, and woohoo, instant challah. Without any effort, no mess, and it was an absolute pleasure. It was beautiful. There was something special about doing it, you know.
Yes. I took pre-made, so I made it a little easier.
You have to. You also, you're fully entitled to also, and this is the whole aim, I think, of pre-planning going to the bush. You know, if you're very thorough in what you, and you pack really carefully.
As I saw how you packed. We had all your
We didn't have clothes. We just had cooler bags.
But one thing I must say, I really do enjoy, is when I get back from the bush. I mean, there's nothing like a beautiful bath. And, excuse me, of course, checking in between your toes for ticks, and a ladle of Savlon in my bath. You know, I'm a bit of a...
Do you?
A free castle. Put on slip-slops when I went into the shower.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
I'm just... Anyway, after the break, we'll come back for...
Khalashing for Khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show, and we are talking about fressing.
My favourite topic. Fressing in the bush. Fressing in...
Fressing at a beautiful day. You know, I was actually... We were talking in the break, and I was saying that we don't really have dinner parties like our parents used to have anymore. I think the closest thing I come to is Shabbos.
Yes, you see, now this is my intention for the winter. Because yes. I want to go back to that old kind of fashioned way of lighting my fireplace and setting the table, as you said, with a beautiful white tablecloth and doing those fancy serviettes. You know how we used to fold those napkins and turn them into ducks and birds? And so, you know, just to go completely over the top and retro and bring out my beautiful crockery. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, it just sits in the cupboard.
So I opened one of my cupboards because I'm doing a big clean out. Opened one of my cupboards and I just saw this magnificent silverware, all tarnished, because who really has time to sit and clean all your silverware? You know, everything that's been passed down to you over the generations. I've still got my granny stuff and beautiful stuff.
It is beautiful, and it's sad not to use it.
And you know, I always remember my mother saying, such a pain to keep everything, all the silver. And I'll never forget this. One Sunday morning, I go downstairs and my father has laid the table and he has got his helper to polish all the beautiful silver. And he and my mother are sitting down having breakfast with the silver butter dish and the silver ring around the serviette and the silver tea set. And they're having this beautiful
otherwise,
breakfast.
That's beautiful. And that's what it should be about. It's actually enjoying your home, enjoying what you have. And it doesn't have to also be the best of the best.
No, it doesn't. I mean,
you can just make it special for yourself. Yeah. I think that you know, as a human being, you're worthy of having
beautiful
things around you.
Yeah. So, this at Shabbos, we're talking about entertaining. I have the family. I'm saying goodbye to family from London, unfortunately, and they're in the bush at the moment. So they're really going from the bush to white tablecloth, and they are crazy meat eaters, but because they, the family from London, I have to have the whole mishpocha around. So 30 of us are going to sit down. It's like Yontif again.
So tell me what you're making.
So
I know you've already planned.
I'm making. They are such meat eaters.
Because they don't get the meat in London.
No. In fact, my cousin sat down, went to meet him, and sat down and he ate a kilo of spare ribs.
It's insane.
Okay.
Yes.
My other cousin ordered the chicken, but he ordered half a chicken, and it was huge. I mean, it covered the whole plate. And he said, oh, I should have ordered a full chicken for the same amount of energy I'm going to use eating half.
We are spoilt in South Africa with our produce. And I said, when you know, I also had guests here from overseas, and they looked at the food that they got here, and there's no comparison between what we get in South Africa.
That's exactly what my family from America said. They said, your fruit tastes
like food.
Fruit.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. We're so lucky. So, I'm making a lamb. They asked me, they said, please make your lamb, which everybody knows, I do in the braai first, and then I just spice it up with beautiful lemons off my lemon tree, rosemary off my rosemary bush.
Shaw, go slowly because I'm going to take my lamb shoulder out for Friday. So you take your lamb and you just braai it with some.
I braai it until it's a beautiful caramelized, don't burn it. Just have it a beautiful caramelized brown.
So you're searing it, so the inside is going to be a bit raw.
But I put that straight into the oven and I let it go for about 7-8 hours on 140 and covered.
Okay.
Because it's already been browned, caramelized. Squeeze your lemon juice on top. Or you can put it in a pestle and mortar or mortar and pestle. I don't know. What do you call it?
Pestle and mortar.
I call it mortar and pestle.
Mortar and pestle. I think matters.
Mortar and pestle. And you just crush up the rosemary and crush up mint leaves, fresh, beautiful mint leaves, and lemon juice and garlic and salt, and just crush it all up and just throw it all over the lamb. And
that's after you've fried it.
After I've fried it. Because yes. There's no point in putting all those herbs on. They just burn. So you put it on afterwards.
Yeah. Is it true that salt draws the...
Oh, I think it does. It needs a bit of salt because brings out... But you're not putting a lot of salt on. Just a little bit of salt, you know. And but you need that salt to bring out the flavors of the beautiful mint and rosemary and garlic and lemon juice. And I leave that, as I say, until it's literally falling off the bone.
That's my Friday night meal. I've got a beautiful shoulder left over from Pesach, and that is exactly what they're going to get.
That's what I'm using, my leftover lamb shoulders.
Yes.
But, of course, being panicky, what I'm doing is I'm going to add some breasts of lamb to that. And I stuff my breasts of lamb because, you know, you're always nervous. Is this going to, you know, how far is this going to go?
The shoulder is small.
Exactly.
It doesn't go, I think, much beyond 6 or 8 people.
Yeah, but I've got 2 of those. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to jam up the lamb breasts. Okay, so what I do is you can get 3 or 4 breasts of lamb. And you can smoke them, get them smoked if you want. So you can add them towards the end of the cooking process of your lamb. And or you can just get them regular, fresh. And what I do with the lamb breast is I call it a figment of your imagination. Can you get figs at the moment?
I've seen figs. I had for Pesach. I'm sure
there's
still
I think there are some figs. Otherwise, just use fig jam. Okay, so it's about for 4 breasts of lamb. It's about 6 tablespoons of apricot jam. Fig jam. If you can't get fig, then just use apricot. And then lots of mint chopped up. Some rosemary needles pulled off the stem, some lemon juice, exactly what we're going to do with the shoulders of lamb. Coarse ground pepper, but to the lamb breast I like to always add just a little bit of fresh, just some ginger. And the stuffing is so easy. It's just 2 cups of onions fried. And now the onions, use 2 cups because the onions shrivel down to nothing. And you want those onions to be beautifully caramelized. And then I add some mushrooms to it, and I add some sage leaves, some dried sage leaves, 2 cups of finely chopped parsley or a tablespoon of dried, 1 cup of homemade stock or a chicken stock in a cup of boiling water. And you can use matzo meal, but I prefer to use, you get the breadcrumbs from Woolworths, the lovely breadcrumbs.
Yes.
Okay, mix it all together and get your butcher to slice a pocket. It's easy enough to do. They slice a pocket in the breast of lamb, stuff it and cook it.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
So there you have, if you're nervous that your lamb's not going to be enough.
That's such a good solution.
Yeah, just do that. And what are you planning?
Okay, so I'm going to do my curried pumpkin soup.
Oh, nice.
I think it's coming soup season.
Yes.
And then what I do is I always double. So when I'm making soup, I always make double quantity. And on the strip, you know, you get those big buckets with the lids?
Yes.
And I put it in the buckets in my freezer, and it's an absolute pleasure. You take it out, flip it into the pot, and you've got another whole meal's worth of soup. So it's really worthwhile to double it. So here's the curried pumpkin soup. It's 2 onions chopped, 4 leeks checked and sliced, 2 cloves of garlic crushed, and a stick of celery chopped. And then what you do is you fry everything in a pot with a little bit of olive oil. You add about 1 tablespoon. This is such an old recipe. You're talking about retro. It says a dessert spoon. There's no such a thing anymore. So it's a tablespoon of medium curry powder. And then you're going to add about 1.5 kilograms of cubed pumpkin, and you fry that for a few minutes. You add 4 chicken cubes or vegetable cubes, 8 cups of boiling water, and you cook it until it's soft. If you see that you need more water or you need more cubes for flavor, you can add a little bit more, and you season with salt and pepper, and then you're going to liquidize it in your food processor, chill, and you're going to serve it with some chopped chives. Absolutely magnificent.
Okay, so there you've got Friday night, you've got your lamb, you've got your your soup. You know, I think half the battle having, you know, Shabbos, Yom Tov, whatever you have, or dinner party, whatever it is, half the battle is deciding what cut of meat you're going to use. Are you going to get a brisket that needs cooking the whole day? Are you going to have a beautiful beef bourguignon?
Excuse my French. You said that so beautifully.
Are you going to have that? Are you? And I think also that, you know, Friday night's difficult for a roast. I find a Scotch fillet. Sometimes it works so beautifully, and other times it's just a little overdone. You know, people arrive half an hour late, then goes your Scotch
Although
fillet.
I have learned now, I cook it medium rare, wrap it tightly in tinfoil, and I just put it on my hot tray. And it comes soft and cooked through to perfection. And okay. That really works well.
There you have it. So, also, I mean, you get beautiful, it's how you present it. That to me is, I mean, 90% of what you're going to eat is what your eye sees, what it's drawn to.
And therefore, you can make it really, really simple. You don't have to spend hours in the kitchen. Rather, serve it and present it beautifully. Like the curried pumpkin soup in the olden days, I used to take a hollowed out pumpkin and then serve the pumpkin soup in the pumpkin.
Yeah.
And there's something grand and wonderful about it, and it's so easy to do.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the greengrocer will do that for you easily.
Well, talking about hollowing out, I mean, I haven't done it for a long time. Maybe I should do it again. Get a lovely round loaf of bread.
Yes.
Nice. And today you can get lovely sourdough ones. Take off the lid, scoop out the inside, and then just line it with some tin foil so it doesn't seep through the bread. And then I put trinchada or cubes of peri-peri beef in it.
That's beautiful.
And you just served that, and the bread that you've taken out, serve it as chunks in another bowl. So people can actually take the meat and they can use that bread to...
Or it can be your breadcrumbs. You can put it in the food processor, freeze it, and then you've got your breadcrumbs for the lamb.
Exactly.
But that's a wonderful plate. It's all wintry, delicious food.
And it just looks so... Oh, wow, look at that.
And I like the interactiveness of the meal. Like exactly. Everybody is... Like, remember we used to have fondues? That's, you know...
Apparently they're coming back, fondues. I see a lot of it on you know, the internet. But, you know, as I say, it's always about how it's presented. I mean, you can serve a stew on rice and in a polystyrene bowl, and it looks... Horrific.
Yes.
Or you could serve it exactly the same thing in a beautiful silver dish or a beautiful bowl that
with just a little bit of garnish on top.
Yeah. So I mean, you just that add. Now, I was going to talk about a beef Wellington, but have you ever made a beef Wellington?
Yes. Yes.
And is it as patzkadik?
No, because I don't make it patzkadik. At all.
Okay.
So I buy the ready-made pastry, number one. That's easy.
Okay.
Then I get, normally I use a Scotch fillet. I just prefer it to the side bolo.
Yes.
But I guess you could use a side bolo if you, you know, I'm always scared of that sinew.
Yes.
That sinew on the side.
Well, you can get it now from your local butchers. They take the sinew out.
Yes.
But then what do you put in the middle? I suppose you could put mushrooms in the middle.
So I don't actually put the mushrooms in the middle. So I sear. My Scotch fillet.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my pan, I cook a little bit of onions. Right. I put some sliced up mushrooms in, a little bit of salt and pepper, and I reduce it. You know, I like to cook mushrooms first. I cook the onion, and then I put in the mushrooms, and I let the juice come out the mushroom. And then when the mushroom drinks the juice back in, that's kind of when the mushroom is cooked.
Right.
A little bit of salt and pepper. Sometimes you can even put some chicken livers. And, you know, in with it. But I actually don't because I think most people, certain people don't like chicken livers.
Yes.
I then take, there we are. I then take my ready-made puff pastry. I roll I don't do that at all. I'm talking rubbish. I take my Scotch fillet and I cook it.
Right.
So I don't cook it 100% through. I cook it 3/4 way through.
Right.
I take my puff pastry. I line the puff pastry with my mushroom and onion. What's it called? Duxelle, isn't
it? Good.
Duxelle. Yes, good. Hey,
well
good, French.
Done.
And then I put my piece of meat on. I roll up the puff pastry. I make 3 or 4 slits on the top, and I bake it. Brush it with a bit of egg,
good
and it is fantastic.
So you're just basically warming the popped off, sorry, warming the meat through.
Yes.
And
doing so that last bit of cooking.
Yeah, and would it be on quite a high temperature,
the pastry? I do it about 180.
Okay.
The puff pastry to brown takes a good 20 minutes, and that's going to give that meat the last bit of cooking.
Right.
Okay. And that's beautiful for a dinner party.
That is nice.
And you slice it on a board, and it's magnificent.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen show. We're chatting food from the bush to a beautiful white linen tablecloth. Okay, you know, I was talking earlier about deciding what cut of meat you're going to use. Are you going to do something that is long, low, and slow cooking? You're going to do a Scotch fillet, which is high heat, quick cooking. Are you going to do ribs, which you can do high heat and slow roasting? You can do lamb, high heat, slow roasting. I mean, there's lots of different things to do with your cuts of beef. Now, something that I always like to do is a brisket. I mean, a brisket is low and slow cooking. We don't have to worry about it. You can leave it and worry about other things like making your fresh salad.
And also, I think it's nice if you make brisket the day before even, and it's beautiful if you warm it up.
Exactly.
And that takes a whole load off your shoulders. There's
exactly.
None of that last-minute panic.
And you know what I've been enjoying doing lately is a brisket, and then just when you bring it to the table, just throw a couple of pomegranate seeds on top and a couple of mint leaves on top, and it just looks so much nicer. It looks fresh and lovely.
See, that's the eating with your eyes.
Correct.
And it hasn't taken all that effort to make the brisket. It's
no,
just how you're presenting it.
Exactly. And I mean, I have quite an easy recipe. And one that I use always after Pesach. Why?
Because you've got a brisket in the freezer.
I have got a brisket in the freezer. And B, I always buy those Goldcrest whole berry cranberry sauce. I always think, you know, if I'm going to make an apple something for Pesach, like an apple cake, I'm going to put that cranberry sauce in as well, because it just gives it such a beautiful flavor. And somehow I don't use it. So this is a cranberry brisket that you can do, as I say, the day before. You take a 2.5 kilo fresh brisket, a cup of water, a can of the Goldcrest cranberry sauce, half a cup of red wine, you can only get the Geffen now, I think. Half a cup of red wine vinegar, and if it's not available, brown is also fine. 1 cup of brown sugar, the lovely soft brown sugar, like the treacle sugar. A cup of tomato sauce, 1 teaspoon of fresh garlic, a packet of the onion soup mix. You preheat your oven to 160, remove the brisket, and you put it into a large frying pan, fry it until it's brown, or stick it under the grill until it's brown, stick it into a pot, and as I always say, a shoe size on each side, big enough.
That's clever.
Roasting pan. You don't want your roasting pans to be so big and your little piece of meat in the middle, because all this beautiful sauce is going to evaporate. And especially with brisket, you really want sauce on it and let it, you know, be lovely and saucy. And I mean, you can add a little bit of mustard powder to it. As I always say, cook with what you feel you have a taste for, you know, a flavor for. And then what you do is you can fry it in your pan. To the same pot, you add, scrape all the bits of the bottom, add that water, scrape all those lovely bits of the bottom, and you add your red wine vinegar, your brown sugar, tomato sauce, garlic, onion soup mix, and you throw it over your meat. Cover it tightly because it's already been browned, your meat. Cover it with tin foil or whatever you want. Stick it in your oven and leave it on 140 for 6 to 8 hours.
Sounds delicious.
And as I say, with brisket, if you've overcooked it, it's not a ruble thick piece of meat. You can use it as pulled beef if you want to. But as I say, take that beautiful piece of meat. You know when brisket is ready, when you can put a fork in and there's no resistance. So check that after about 6 hours. Take that piece of meat out and then slice it up if you want to.
And put it back in the sauce.
And then in a nice dish, nice serving platter. And then keep it warm. And then just before serving, throw the pomegranates, the mint, put a bit of rocket round the side. And
it sounds absolutely
so easy.
I did make your cabbage one over Pesach. It was fabulous. Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes. Sandwiches the next day. You know, my son makes the most incredible sandwiches because he takes the time to add all these additional things to the sandwich. You know, me, I just like, but he puts on a base and then he puts crunchy lettuce and pickled cucumbers and tomatoes and chopped up cabbage. There's nothing nicer than a brisket sandwich.
Oh, delicious.
It's the best. It really is the best.
One where you almost have to be a hippopotamus to bite into it and so forth.
And you have to eat it in private.
Yeah.
And in the bush.
No, even on a Sunday night, just beautiful thick slices of brisket and a beautiful sandwich. Mm, I'm getting hungry. Okay. So now we've discussed the soup, the main course. Salads, well, it's getting a bit cold now, but we can still serve some salads.
Or roasted vegetables, maybe, and move towards the pumpkins and the roasted vegetables. I made the most beautiful green beans on Friday night.
Yes.
Because I got these wonderful green beans from Babylon Store. And what I did is I cooked an onion with a little bit of garlic. I added a tin of chopped tomatoes. And then I took some cardamom, two or three cardamom pods, opened them, roasted the cardamom pods, crushed them in my pestle and mortar and pestle, added that, and then I just put in the green beans, and it was gone. They were the most delicious green beans.
Mm. Sounds good. You know what I've also done with the leftover vegetables, you know, the assorted vegetables, the Mediterranean vegetables, the next day I make a salad dressing with tahina, and you just add like a regular Italian salad dressing to your tahina and put it over and just put some, either some cashew nuts, something really crunchy on top, and it's delicious salad.
Don't you remember we used to do that? We used to do a falafel salad, talking about retro.
Yes.
So we used to chop up some baby cucumbers. I used to buy the ready falafel balls, baby tomatoes. I used to toast some pita breads that I'd cut into quarters. I think, what did we add? Baby potatoes that we used roast, cut in half, and then we used to make that salad dressing with a cup of tahina and a cup of, I bought it, the Italian, ready Italian salad dressing, mixed it all together, and totally delicious. And a beautiful starter for your dinner party.
Yes.
If you present it beautifully.
Presenting is all in, it's all in the eye of the... What did they say?
Do you think everybody notices, or some people just are oblivious?
Yes, they do. And I think it's also important to present puddings beautifully, desserts beautifully. You know, I sometimes scoop up balls of ice cream and build a little pyramid, and then you can have the chocolate sauce sort of coming down like lava. You know, you can do all that kind of thing if you want to.
And then you really can have your dinner party without feeling stressed and pressurized. And you don't, there's no need to make ice cream anymore. I'm so over that.
And so have you got any exciting desserts, recipes?
Desserts. So when I was thinking about it, if you just give me a minute to find it.
Yes.
I was thinking, I used to make a champagne fruit salad, which was also really easy.
Okay.
You know, and you can take all the beautiful berries, the strawberries. Here we go. And then before I did that, I used to make a sauce, a sugar syrup. Remember, like with your grapes, which were delicious as well.
Good.
I made them for Pesach. You make a sugar syrup with half a cup of lemon juice, 3 cups of water, and a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
You boil it all together. And then you add in whatever fruits, you know, you find. Maybe some beautiful berries, some strawberries, if you can still find melons.
Mm.
It's nice to even boil your melons so you get all the different shapes.
Yes.
And just before, and you can serve them in a beautiful champagne glass. And just before you're ready, you top it up with a little bit of champagne.
Okay.
And it is also the really delicious and simple dessert.
And if you don't want to use champagne, use Sprite.
Sprite,
it makes the most wonderful crunchy salad, fruit salad. It keeps
really?
It, yeah.
You're a man of information.
It keeps
you see, I actually have to come here with a pen and keep notes. That's why I keep saying to talk slower. I have to write this all down.
Okay, so we're going to take a break, and after the break, I'm going to come back with a lovely fattening, sugar full. I mean, if you're going to eat a dessert, it's got to be fattening.
The wrong person, Shah.
So I'm going to deal with this dessert straight after the break.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to bry or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Yes, it's all about the food. And we're talking desserts. Lovely, rich, creamy desserts. Okay, so this is a caramel self-basting sauce, which is delicious with vanilla ice cream. So you will need, you can either make up your own vanilla cake mix, or you can buy a box of vanilla cake mix, which is what I did. And to make up the sauce, so you make up your cake, you put it into a rectangular dish, making sure you've got enough room for to add this the sauce on the top. And you follow the instructions on the cake box. If you're using a cake box, put it into a rectangular dish, not a cake tin that you're going to turn over. Just a nice Pyrex, if you're going back retro, dish. We can use a tinfoil container. And you make up the caramel sauce as follows. 1/2 cup of brown sticky sugar. You know, the muscovado, what's it?
Yeah, I think it's muscovado. Treacle sugar.
Treacle sugar. Okay. 1/3 cup of syrup. 1 pinch of salt. 2 cups of boiling water. 2 teaspoons of vanilla essence. And 1 cup of non-dairy creamer. And what you do is you dissolve the sugar and the syrup in boiling water. You add the vanilla essence. When it's all melted, you add the creamer, the non-dairy creamer to it. I like to use the Richards. You can use Woolly Whip, or you can use coconut cream. Coconut cream's delicious with this. And you just mix it all together with a whisk, making sure that it's really mixed together well. And you pour that on top of your baking dish, on top of the raw mixture. And you bake it on 180 for 30 minutes. Now, only problem with this is if you're doing it on Shabbos, what happens is the longer it sits before you eat it, the more the cake will absorb all the sauce. So you won't have that much of the sauce. So what I like to do is I bake it 1/2 hour before Shabbos, take it out. And by the time we eat, it will be warm, but at least it won't. The sauce will still be there at the bottom.
It's wonderful, that.
It's lovely and rich.
There was another one that we used to do, do you remember? But I don't think you get it anymore. Do you still get Pyre of Nutella?
Yeah, yes, it's called something else. I think it's called Deli Nut. Schneiders do it.
Because we used to buy, I used to buy those ready-made cake mixers.
Right.
And then also I used to heat the Nutella, I think.
Yes.
And then as the cake came out, prick holes and pour the warm Nutella yes. over that. And it's spectacular.
Yeah, it's delicious.
And garnished with beautiful mint leaves and little chocolate balls dipped in gold dust.
That's it. It's gold dust.
Yes.
It's all the little extras that just say, this is going to be a delicious
or
meal.
I've taken the time because I care that you're here.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And I think that's important. It's just to make people feel that you really want them there.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think that's it for today. So we wrap up. We say thank you to Craig. Thank you, Lauren, for joining us. And don't forget, we've got Shavuot coming up. And in fact, I'm going to make it so easy for you. I'm doing a cooking demonstration on Tuesday the 20th. So it's 2 weeks from now.
Soon, Sha.
Soon. Lots of lovely milchik recipes. A friend of mine said to me, yeah, you're the kosher butcher's wife, but I think your milchik meals top it all. So I'm going to be making cheesecakes for you and lots of delicious Italian dishes and blintzes and all the milchiks you can think of. So if you want to, contact me and come to the demo. With that, goodbye, everybody. Have a wonderful Lagba Omer. Bra yourselves silly and see you soon.